And now turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're reading the entire chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the words of our mighty and powerful God. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know, but if anyone loves God, he is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. However, not all men have this knowledge. But some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, who have knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he's weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And so, by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. And thus far in God's Word. You read that chapter and it might be confusing, but generally we look at this chapter. It was a custom among the pagans in that day to have feasts where they would eat the sacrifices that they offered. And they would invite their friends to partake with them. Normally, the meats of the sacrifices was kept in the temple area. It is the pagan temple area, not the temple in Jerusalem. But if anything was left over after the feast ended, it was common, and as we would say today, to take the leftovers home and to give it to friends or to have a meal at your own home with friends invited. Even some of the priests from the pagan temple would take the meat, and they would go to the local markets and sell it so you could buy it. And in chapter 8, Paul is addressing the Corinthian Christians who, when invited to their pagan friends' home to partake in meat sacrificed to idols, or when they go to the temple themselves and they offer meat or they eat the meat sacrificed to idols, Paul's addressing them here and he's telling them that, yes, you are correct that an idol is nothing in the world. And basically, eating of such is, of the meat sacrificed to the idol, eating of such is not a worshiping the idol. You're just eating meat, which was previously sacrificed to the idol. But simply, you are partaking in food. Because idols don't exist. They're not gods. Because there's only one God. And so yet they were abusing here their liberty in this partaking of the meat that was sacrificed to these false idols. Because of its harm that it was doing to other brothers and sisters in Christ in the Corinthian church who were weaker in faith. Verse 1, he begins to address those who think they have a lot of knowledge. And those people who have a lot of knowledge, he's saying, yes, you understand that this meat that is sacrificed to idols, those idols aren't real. And you understand it's just meat, it's just food. You have knowledge of this. Just as we today would say, well, it's just food. But there are weaker brothers here, and you have been puffed up with pride in your knowledge. That's what he's condemning. This knowledge without love for the brother or sister in Christ. Because there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are weaker in faith. And so such knowledge, he says, is not good for self, for others, when it's departed or when it's separated from love. And then he contrasts it with that true love. True godly love will consult the interests of the brethren, not just of self. In actuality, the puffing up of our own knowledge is hurtful toward another. It's not love. It's actually a showing of ignorance. And so be warned, beloved, of how you use true knowledge. If it for self, it is shown to be ignorance. Those that are known of God and loved by Him are ones who truly love God and thus love their neighbor. And so what is true then? There is no idol in the world, nor can an idol do anything in the world. What is true? The idol has no true divinity. There's no divinity. They are basically lies or vanities, we could say. They're merely imaginary. They have no power. They are powerless. They do not even exist. So there's only one God. Heathen idols or any idols are not God. Yahweh is God, the only God. There are many, as he says here, there are many so-called gods. But they are not real. They're just called so falsely. But in Corinth, not all Christians were so fully convinced of that fact. Some were. They have the knowledge that's talked about in a chapter. But some, others, were not fully convinced and persuaded that this idol was nothing. There were some who came straight out of the culture, out of the pagan worship, and they were worshiping idols beforehand, before coming to Christ. They believed in those idols. And they haven't totally put off the belief in those idols yet. Not completely. There was still some sin, therefore, remaining in them. They are ignorant of the truth, and perhaps have confused knowledge of the truth they've heard. That happens in the church, and it happens to Christians. The dots haven't all been lined up yet. And yet, as they have become Christians, they still maintain veneration of their past idols. They ate how? It says, out of respect for the idol, imagining that there was some divinity in it still. So, beloved, we should be careful to do nothing that may occasion weak Christians to defile their consciences and sin. And so here, the ones who had knowledge, the ones who understood that these eating of the meat sacrificed to these false idols, which were imaginary, that it was okay, it was in a Christian liberty, you can eat the meat if you want, and you can, as he says here, and you don't have to eat the meat. Which says here, when there's those Corinthians, Christians who are struggling in their faith and who still think, well, this is still an idol and we're giving veneration to him and we're partaking in the meat to do so, you should abstain from your Christian liberty. If it causes a brother or sister in Christ to sin or fall into sin or be tempted in order to sin, then you should abstain from such Christian liberty. And there are Christian liberties that we have that are not commanded or commanded against, that we have in our lives today. We don't really have in our culture, at least here, a culture of sacrificing meat to idols. We do have other things that in our Christian liberty we do have. Well, if it causes a brother or sister in Christ to sin and stumble, and you are not to partake in it, but you should love them. Have that knowledge, and yet love them by not partaking. And so he's warning here about abusing your liberty, hurting a weak brother, causing them to be destroyed in conscience by inviting them to partake in idolatry. Verse 13, therefore, if food, or you can add anything into a blank there, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again. So that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Let's pray now to our God. Our Father, we praise you and thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you are the God who speaks to us through your Son. And work. You're the God who works in our hearts by your Spirit. We praise you for this text of Scripture which warns us about abusing that knowledge we have been given by you. Abusing it by not loving our neighbor as ourself. Father, we ask that as we live our lives in those areas where we have freedom and Christian liberty, Father, we ask that we would be directed by your word, by the principles of your word and the commands of your word, and that we would love, that we would not, if we know that we are causing our brother and sister to stumble in sin, that we would abstain from such things. For why would we want our brother and sister to sin when we ourselves hate sin? And perhaps it is, Lord, that we do not hate sin enough. Lord, cause us to hate sin with a hatred like you have. And Father, we ask that our Christian liberties, that we would not abuse them to the point of things like gluttony or drunkenness. But also, Father, that we would not be ignorant, that we have knowledge and yet be ignorant, as Paul talks about here. Lord, again, we pray that you would cause us to love and be aware of our surroundings, our brothers and sisters in Christ who may stumble. That in love we don't partake, and yet in love we speak the truth. We teach them the truth. With all humility, knowing that we have been in that position before. Or we don't know everything. We don't know many things. We still don't know many things compared to your knowledge. Yet, Father, we ask that you would humble us in these things when we teach your word and preach your word. Let us not be a stumbling block. Father, in these things we ask that you would watch over our country. Our country has began entering into very rapidly in the past few years sins which are heinous in your sight, sins which the Corinthian church dealt with and struggled with. So, Father, we ask that as we continually go through this book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, that you will prepare us for what might come. Cause us to stand firm according to your word alone, according to you. And you would spare us judgment, which is well deserved in our country because of the few remaining righteous that remain. Lord, let your gospel go forward. May it go forward through the mouths of your witnesses, that they would testify, we would testify, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power to save from sin and death and hell and Hades. That people would be saved. Lord, save your people. For as many as you appointed to eternal life, cause them to believe. Lord, sanctify us, a people who struggle still with sin, struggle with our Christian liberties, struggle with our knowledge and love. Cleanse us, wash us, that we would be whiter than snow. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.